Beloved congregation, many of us know the song, perhaps, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's a very simple song and a basic song, but a song that does capture the importance of faith, trust, and obedience. And these are words that don't require glorious actions. Going somewhere far away to show obedience, but call for daily action. Obedience to those in authority. Trust in circumstances that can be far less than ideal and comfortable. Very mundane, very daily and typical. And that's what I pray God seals upon your heart and mine, even from this sermon, that we are called in our daily lives and obey. That we are called in our callings, our vocations, to trust and obey. And yes, for the patriarch, for the man Abraham, this required many actions, even great actions. Being called by God out of his homeland where he was born and raised, to a land that God would show him. He had to trust the God of the Word. And he obeyed the call. Being given promises that he would be a blessing, that God would give him a family, a seed, a posterity, descendants, that God would give him a land that would be his. These promises Abraham wrestled with. Who would that descendant be? It grew increasingly impossible from the side of man, because he was beyond the age, him and his wife, of having children. Who would that child be? And we see Abraham's failure. The Bible is always honest about believers' sins. It wasn't through Hagar, it wasn't in Ishmael that the seed would be found, but it was in the one, the boy, who had come from Sarah and from Abraham's own bodies, Isaac. And that seed, that descendant, would lead to a large number of descendants. We could read in Genesis 15 that it would be as numerous as the stars of the sky, unable to be counted. That's the number of descendants. But then too, the question of the land. Where would the land come from? And many of us know Genesis 13, where Lot, the nephew of Abraham, chose the better land. Abraham's faith and his obedience are again tested. Would he trust the Lord? And yet at the end of that chapter, God takes him to a high mountain and he calls Abraham to look all the way around him. That land would be yours, Abraham. Trust and obey. Well, then there is the third promise of Abraham being a blessing to the nations. We again see failures that with Abimelech, he had failed by saying, Sarah's my sister, she's not my wife, thinking that his life would be in jeopardy if they found out she was his wife. So he lied. He wasn't a blessing. Actually, for the time in Genesis 20, the servants of Abimelech had they were unable to have children. But God would convict Abraham and lead Abraham in the way of obedience and trust, not in his own devices, but in the promise of the Lord. So where does Genesis 22, a very familiar passage, many of us know the end of what happens with that ram that's caught in the bushes. What does this teach us? Well, it teaches us the importance of trusting and obeying, of seeing the covenant faithfulness of God being brought to pass as His people trust and obey. As you and as I trust and obey, dear believers. And what is the outcome? Well, His people are vindicated. His people are confirmed. His people prove that it is real, that God is their God, and that they are His people. And that's what I would like to reflect with you upon in this sermon, that God's tests of Abraham, of you and I, aren't meant to show all that we lack, to show where we come short, to show where there's work to be done yet. They do that. They do humble us. But they also show especially what He has given, what He has worked in the hearts of His people. And then they can encourage us that the God who has done wondrous things, leading us to trust and obey, dear believers, is the God who will further them and the God who will ultimately perfect them. Is that your hope and my hope this morning and for our lives? Well, I'd like to look at Genesis 22, 1 through 19, the verses we've read from this chapter, under the theme, God tests Abraham concerning Isaac. Abraham's obedience, Abraham's faith, and God's covenant faithfulness. Firstly, Abraham's obedience. And this needs to be set in the broader picture that I think includes Genesis 21 as well. Really, we can understand Genesis 22 as the second test of Abraham's obedience. The first is in Genesis 21, after the birth of Isaac, the long-awaited heir, the son, that Abraham was faced with a crucial test regarding which one he would have his hopes pinned on. And if you were to go and read that later in the day, you would read there about Ishmael mocking Isaac and looking down on Isaac. And Sarah telling Abraham, send away Hagar and Ishmael. Don't keep them around because here is one who is despising the promise and who is disregarding the, at least at this time, the one who would be the fulfillment, the initial fulfillment of the promise of a son. Abraham was tested already in Genesis 21. Which son would you pin your hopes on? And if you were to do a comparison, there are many similarities between Genesis 21 and the incident of Abraham sending away Hagar and Ishmael. Some of them are that Abraham rose early in the morning, we read in verse 14. Just like in chapter 22, verse 3, Abraham rose early in the morning. That meant for journeys, going off. The child was liable to be dead. Ishmael, it was because of being parched and longing for water and being dried. Isaac, because God had called Abraham to go and offer him up. And both had miraculous provisions that were there. The well of water for Ishmael and Hagar. The ram that was caught in the bushes for Abraham and Isaac on the top of Mount Moriah. So what we have is a continuation of Abraham's obeying. He obeyed in Genesis 21, pinning his hopes on Isaac, the promised descendant. Ultimately, as he looked forward to the promised one to come. And in Genesis 22, that test specifically regards how Abraham would value the fulfillment to him, Isaac, as his flesh and blood, or the promise. Would you give Isaac up as your sense of enjoyment of the fulfillment of the promise, Abraham? Or if I call you to offer Isaac up to myself, would you still hold on to tightly the promise of the God who cannot lie? So that's the first thing under Abraham's obedience, that this is really a continuation of the second, it's the second part of the test that he had to face. But then some other things about Abraham's obedience. Firstly, is God's bringing this obedience to light. We have in our translation that God tested Abraham. In the Authorized Version, it said God tempted Abraham. And the sense is here rendered very adequately that this is a test. And it's not a test for God to see what he doesn't see. For God to somehow gain an insight into Abraham's character that he didn't have before. But at the end of the test, we can see and hear the angel of the Lord saying that because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, now I know that you fear the Lord. Here is proof of that which God knew Abraham had received from himself. Job is a similar way. Tested deeply. Not to unearth something about Job that was his problem, but to show that which Job had received from God would endure. A deep and dark trial. So God here is in complete superintendence of this episode. He's not learning new things. He is showing what his servant has received from himself. And obedience also here shows itself greatly in worship. This is the second thing. We can try to obey as professing Christians by helping people walk across the street and being kind to our neighbors and doing all sorts of outward things that have their place. But we must see the centrality of worship in our obedience. Why do we do things? But to worship God by doing them. That's why Abraham could say to his servants as they come to the place, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Obedience doesn't exclude worship. Obedience calls for and centers upon a life of worship. That's why Sunday worship is so vital for the Christian calling. To be energized, to be oriented, to be focused on God and His claim and His call for our lives. It's not about just being fed, not just about experiencing a spiritual high before having to go out into the workplace. It's about worshiping God and having our lives as useful to Him. Obedience and worship belong inseparably together. We show obedience in worship. We obey as a result of worshiping God. Quite often, when the worship becomes less enjoyable, less dynamic, less food for our souls, quite often if we were to examine ourselves, we would have to say we are at a low place of obedience in those times too. My calling to serve the Lord with my life at such times also is not as it should be. So obedience and worship. The third thing about Abraham's obedience is that it puts a claim on Abraham's love. God focuses on this when he says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. In other words, take one that you love with intense fatherly love. Think about it, children, how you love something that is unique to you, that is very special to you, that you've waited a long time for, that you enjoy much every single day. You love that thing and you get very upset and sad when it's taken away or you can't find it or it breaks. Because you love it. It means so much to you. Well, God is saying, take what you love, Abraham, and use what you love as a display of greater love for me. Take your beloved son and offer him up to show that you love me and my promise and my word more than even the earthly fulfillment you have so long waited for. And the interesting thing is, we don't read, but God. Why God? God, you know how hard it was for me to endure, and now I have to have him taken away. Early in the morning, Abraham rose up and went on his way. He obeyed. He showed through this act of obedience that he loved God more than the gifts of God. That he embraced the word and promise of God as most precious. Beloved, Abraham's obedience is put on display. Not that he was perfect in no way, but to teach us the importance of Christian, loving, worshipful obedience. And God searches us. To what degree is your Christian life going through the pattern day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? Just to do it. Because that's the way you've done it. Or in your Christian life, do you delight to obey God? To love him by giving him your best loves? To worship him by giving him your best time? To persevere and carry on? This is Abraham's obedience. But secondly, Abraham's faith. He rose up and he went with his son. They gathered the wood that had been split, gathered the fire, which would be in the way of a torch that would be held. And they would gather the stones undoubtedly from the top of the mountain. Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. How does he believe that God would keep his promise? Well, we have three statements of Abraham. First is that he believed in God's power. I and the young man, Isaac, would have been a teenager at this point, able to carry the wood. Abraham took the fire and the knife. But Abraham had said to the servants, I and the lad will go yonder, we'll go over there and worship, and we will come again to you. And that's where the Hebrews 11 passage is so important. That Abraham believed God was able, he was powerful to raise Isaac from the dead. That if he killed him there as an act of worship, that God would do a wondrous supernatural work to raise his son from the dead. After all, Abraham had received Isaac when he was well past childbearing age. He was as good as dead himself when Isaac was first given to him through his old wife Sarah. Faith has in view the power of God to accomplish God's purposes. Dear believer, faith doesn't praise your power. Doesn't praise the power of the church. Faith That is saving faith. Praise is the power of God. He is able to raise from the dead. Then there is the second statement. God will provide Himself a lamb, the lamb for a burnt offering. A statement of faith looking to God for the acceptable substitute for worship. The acceptable sacrifice that is pleasing to God. Isaac asked his father, "Where's the lamb? We have a knife, we have the fire, we have the wood. But where is the sacrifice? Where's the victim?" And Abraham could have said, "You are the victim." Because that's what he said. That's what God said. Go and offer up your son. That's what Abraham was working with. That Isaac was going to be the victim. But Abraham replies to Isaac, "God will provide it." Faith looks through the word to what God has promised. He would provide the sacrificial victim. Abraham believed it. Maybe this is what Jesus had in his mind when he said, "Abraham saw my day and rejoiced." Abraham looked ahead and hoped in the promise of deliverance through the Lamb of God, who would take the sin of the world away. How wonderful this statement is. God will. God will. It's certain. He will provide for Himself. It will be accepted. A lamb, the lamb, will be final. That's where faith needs to rest. In God's provided lamb. Not in anything you do. Not in the amount of faith you have. But in what God has done. And what He has done is He has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. If you are not believing in Jesus Christ, you are relying upon yourself for something to be accepted before God. You won't find it. Because God has provided Himself a lamb. He would ultimately be the lamb. And the last thing about Abraham's faith is the naming of the place the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. This is a declaration of faith, a confession of faith. Here is the memorial name. The Lord's provision is seen here. He didn't just move on, offer up the ram and be. He made it as a lasting significance that upon Moriah, the Lord's substitute, the Lord's provision, was there witnessed. Abraham believed. And what is faith? What is trust? It's casting ourselves upon the power of God. Have you done that? It's looking to the provision of God, what He would do. It's in celebrating the act of God He has provided. Children, your call, the call of God upon you is to trust God's power, to trust what God has provided, Don't wait. Trust now. Older ones, the call upon you is to trust the power of God to raise the dead. The call of God upon you is to look to the Lamb provided for unworthy ones like ourselves. Well, lastly, we see God's covenant faithfulness. Because you have done this, the angel says, because you have offered, been willing to offer up your son, and I gave you a substitute, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. Your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. God says that covenant I made with you is certain. That covenant that I made with you is absolutely unshakable. And this is so in two ways. First is, where does this place point us to? But to the Temple Mount. Mount Moriah, if we were to look in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, is the place where the temple was going to be set up. And later on, that would be the place, maybe in a hill a little bit distant outside of the city, looking over to it, could be seen Calvary, where a son was offered up. He was not spared. He didn't get off from the altar. But he was nailed to the cross as the substitute. In the mount of the Lord, it would be provided. Calvary shows God's covenant faithfulness. Abraham looking over through the course of history, and ourselves looking back upon it. Where does trust and obey find its fountainhead but in what Christ has done? There's where trust settles. There's where obedience flows forth from. But then there's the second thing. Blessing would flow to the nations. Blessing, I will bless you. God's covenant faithfulness is such that the nations of the world can hear the gospel. It isn't just to Abraham and to his seed, to his descendants. But it's to the human race all around the world that the message comes that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Son he loves, the Son he will eternally love, in order to turn everyone from their sins for whom he died. So this is for not just the Jews, not just the seed of Abraham, but blessing flows to the ends of the earth, even to us today. God is faithful. So let me just conclude with the question. We sing trust and obey. Do you trust and obey? For there's no other way to be happy, to be useful, to be set aside in trusting and obeying. Amen.